ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
Verse 8.
Verse 8. Chapter 7. Verse 8. 5 and 9. We chant verses 8 to 12. Chapter 10. Aham sarvasya prabhavah, aham sarvasya prabhavah, matta sarvam pravartate, matta sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhajante maam, iti matva bhajante maam, बुधा भाव समन्विताः, बुधा भाव समन्विताः, अहम् सर्वस्य प्रभवः, मत्तः सर्वं प्रवर्तते, इति मत्वा भजन्ते माम्, बुधा भाव समन्विताः, मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राणाः, मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राणाः, बोधयन्तः परस्परम्, बोधयन्तः परस्परम्, कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम्, कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम्, तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च, तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च, मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राणाः, बोधयन्तः परस्परम्, कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम्, तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च, तेषां सततयुक्तानां, तेषां सततयुक्तानां, भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं, भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं, ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं, ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं, येन मामुपयान्ति ते, येन मामुपयान्ति ते, तेषां सततयुक्तानां, भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं, ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं, येन मानुपयान्ति ते, तेषामेवानुकं पात, तेषामेवानुकं पात, अहमज्ञानजं तमः, अहमज्ञानजं तमः, नाशयाम्यात्मभावस्तः, नाशयाम्यात्मभावस्तः, ज्ञानदीपेन भास्वता, ज्ञानदीपेन भास्वता, तेषामेवानुकं पातम्, अहमज्ञानजं तमः, नाशयाम्यात्मभावस्तः, ज्ञानदीपेन भास्वता। अर्जुन उवाच, अर्जुन उवाच, परं ब्रह्म परं धाम, परं ब्रह्म परं धाम, पवित्रं परमं भवान्, पवित्रं परमं भवान्, पुरुषं शाश्वतं दिव्यं, पुरुषं शाश्वतं दिव्यं, आदिदेवमजं विभुं, आदिदेवमजं विभुं। अर्जुन उवाच, परं ब्रह्म धाम, पवित्रं परमं भवान्, पुरुषं शाश्वतं दिव्यं, आदिदेवमजं विभुं। आहुस्त्वामृषयस्सर्वे, देवर्षिर्नारदस्तथा, देवर्षिर्नारदस्तथा, अतितो देवलो व्यासः, अतितो देवलो व्यासः, स्वयंचैव ब्रवीषि मे, स्वयंचैव ब्रवीषि मे, आहुस्त्वामृषयस्सर्वे, देवर्षिर्नारदस्तथा, अतितो देवलो व्यासः, स्वयं चैव ब्रवीषि मे।
Vibhuti Yoga, the title of 10th chapter. Yoga of Supreme Manifestation. The manifestation is called as Vibhuti, or this world is considered as a Vibhuti of the Lord. and underneath the manifestation is the unmanifested reality. In the seventh verse, we have done up to seven, isn't it? Were you there, Anjali, last time?
I think we did up to the sixth.
Only six?
Sixth was on the 29th when I was there. We did the same.
So fourth you were there?
I think the last class after that.
Seventh we didn't do, okay. Okay, I'll
because
seven.
We repeated that because we were
seven.
All...
No problem, I'll do seven again.
Sorry.
So basically in 4, 5 and 6 we say that the external and the internal worlds, the gross and subtle, both have come from the unmanifested reality. See, all that Vedanta says is, last week I think when we met, we spoke about theory of perception and interface. All that Vedanta says is, this creation is that which has come out of reality. Like the spider's web has come out of spider. But in that example, the spider creates the web from its own saliva. But having created the web, the spider is separate, web is separate. Then this could be misunderstood that the world is created from Brahman and world is separately existing from Brahman. That is not possible for the Nitya to exist separate from the Satya. Also, the example may create a doubt, like spider has a motive to create the web. Then the unlimited Brahman has a motive. The moment you say it has a motive, then it becomes limited. Then it cannot be Brahman. So that example only conveys to some extent. Like the web comes out of spider, the world is out. That much only you should take. Then they say it is like vegetation coming out of earth. There always the vegetation is in connection with the earth. Plants are connected to the earth. But then there the earth is insentient. That is the vegetation, the plant is sentient. So then Brahman could be misunderstood as something insentient from which the sentient world has come about. Therefore they give one more example. That is hair coming out of human body. Hair is matter, insentient. Human being is sentient. So like that, from Brahman, the insentient world has come about. But then here also there is a fallacy. Because no example can completely fulfill the infinite conditions. There will be some lacuna or the other. So Vedanta says, it's like dream coming out of waker's mind. Dream coming out of waker's mind. There can be no dream without the underlying waker's mind. Right. So the dream is the vibhuti. Waker's mind is the yoga. So he says, it's not something that has come out like vegetation has come out of the earth. It is something that has come out like dream that has come out of Brahman, reality. But this you will only realize when you get out of dream. As long as you are part of the dream, you will never realize that the dream has come out of waker's mind. Right? So he says, the external world and the internal qualities of the dream world has come from the waker's mind. The dreamer has internal qualities, internal characteristics. Right? In the dream, the dreamer has internal characteristics and he is experiencing the external world. Both the external world and the internal characteristics has come out of Brahman. In 4 and 5, he talks about various characters that has come out of Brahman. In 6, he says, the rishis, the Sanat Kumaras and the Manus, all these people have come out of Brahman and from them we have come out. Just like how the dream world has come out of waker's mind. Now when you say that, the Mithya, the dream world is always connected to the Satya, the Maker's mind. Right? But as long as you are in Nitya, you don't understand it. When you dissolve, the entire dream world dissolves and then you become the maker. Then you understand. Because if you say, like air has come out of human being, the world has come out of Brahman. For the air growth to happen, there is some time involved. When you shave, it takes a while for the hair to again grow. So like that, when you say world is evolved out of Brahman, then you are saying there was some time taken for the world to come from Brahman. But when you say world, the internal aspect of the world itself is time. Take away time, space, causation, there is no world. So when you say there was some time taken for time to be created, then you are putting time before time. Therefore there is a fallacy in that also. Therefore they said it's not even like hair coming out of human being. It is like dream that has come out of nature. And this is the vibhuti. This is the manifestation. It is a perception. As long as you are caught in that, it is there. You got to penetrate that and realize the self. And then in 7, we'll chant verse 7. Etam vibhutim yogam cha, etam vibhutim yogam cha, mamayo vedi tatvatah, mamayo vedi tatvatah, sovikampena yogena, sovikampena yogena, yujyate natra samshayah, yujyate natra samshayah, etam vibhutim yogam cha, mamayo vedi tatvatah, sovikampena yogena, he who knows in reality this supreme manifestation and my yoga union, he becomes established in unshakable union. There is no doubt about it. So what he is saying is, take the same example of maker's mind and dream. The dream world has come from maker's mind. Now as long as you are part of the dream, you do not understand it. You do not know it. If I ask you, how old are you? In the dream you will say, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Then I ask you, how old is this world? You will say, it's been there for ever, eternal. But when you wake up from the dream, you know that the dream was hardly few seconds old. Are you with me? So like that, we are dwelling in this manifestation called the world, which is nothing but Nama Rupa. And we have no connection with the reality underlying it. And we have no idea about the yoga, the union of the maker's mind with the dream world. Like that, Brahman with the world. But a person who is woken up, he understands both the maker's mind and the dream that evolved out of maker's mind. He's saying like that, then he will be an unshakable union with what? Maker's mind. Nothing that was happening on the dream will have any effect on him. So that's what he means here. He who knows in reality this supreme manifestation and my yoga union, he becomes established in unshakable union with the truth, unshakable union with the reality. As a result of which, anything that happens at the manifestation level does not affect the person. See, as long as you are part of the dream, it continues to affect you. But if you are woken up, then would the dream, anything that is happening in the dream, happened in the dream, affect you? This is what he says, he is an unshakable union. He only sees the reality. Whatever is happening at the surface, it doesn't affect him. So last week that's why I was talking about the theory of perception and all that. Vedantic theory of perception. Were you there when I spoke about the Vedantic theory of perception?
Yes.
So I think I've done this verse 7. Last week when we met and when I spoke about Vedantic theory of perception. So where he very clearly says in Swami Ramtita how this universe has come from Brahman. The idealists say that I see this world, I experience this world only when the mind is there, when my mind is there. We are all here. If my mind is here, then I will see all of you. So then for me this world exists. Vita exists, Anu exists, Sunanda exists, everybody exists if my mind is here. If my mind is not here, this world doesn't exist. So idealism says, world is a projection of your mind. Apart from the mind, there is nothing outside. Okay. Realism says, no, world exists in itself. Because if Rita was not existing there outside, how is Ami seeing her? How is Sadhana seeing her? Even if your mind wasn't there, we are all seeing Rita. So Rita exists. The world exists independent of the mind. Right? World is real. Therefore, there is something outside the mind which is real. That is object, says the realism. Vedantic theory of perception says, listen, you cannot project. When idealism says mind is projected, Vita, Sunanda, all these people, idealism, Vedanta says, no, when you say mind is projected and you say there is nothing outside the mind, to the extent when you say mind is projected, you are right. But when you say there is nothing outside the mind, you are wrong, because on what is the projection happening? There must be something called as adhisthana. If you are projecting a movie, there has to be a screen. So when you say there is nothing outside the mind, you are going wrong. But when you say world is projection of the mind, that is correct. As far as idealism goes. Then as far as realism goes, the Vedantic theory of perception says, you are right when you say there is something outside the mind. That much you are right, and that is real, that much you are right. But when you say that something outside is object, then you are wrong. And therefore, without the base, the adhisthanam, which is substratum, the pure consciousness, is there outside and inside. Like in the ocean, there is water everywhere. And the wave from outside comes and hits the wave from inside, the subject. In this collision, the froth and foam arises. Like that, the consciousness from outside is striking the consciousness from within. In this action-reaction, the subject mind comes into picture. And mind has qualities. Your mind is nothing but gunas. My mind is nothing but gunas. This mind gunas arises. The qualities are in the mind, and that quality I deposit on the outside substratum, consciousness, and imagine as if there is an object outside. There is no object outside other than my mind, but the qualities are deposited on the substratum, consciousness. Is that clear? So,
a reflection of
same object, Ami is seeing, Sadhana is seeing, Lakshminarayana is seeing. Okay? But when I ask Ami to define the qualities of the object, Torasa Paraka. And I ask Sadhana to define the qualities of Torasa Paraka. Let us say, Ami is having color blindness, so certain colors she cannot see. Lakshminarayana is suffering from jaundice, so he sees everything yellow. Are you with me? So therefore, it is not the same thing that you are seeing. But you are seeing something. It's the qualities of your mind that is getting projected on the consciousness outside. So Vedantic theory of perception says, what is there is only consciousness, nothing other than the pure consciousness. But the action reaction that's happening in the consciousness, the mind rises. The mind, when it rises, it projects the qualities outside. And there the object is created. And then the subject is perceiving the object and is lost in this maya. The moment you go with it and dissolve the mind, go beyond the mind. And what is your mind? The mind is nothing but conditioning. When you are born, your only attachment is to mother's bosom, nothing else. That's where you are getting milk for your survival. Then slowly as you drink mother's milk and your brain grows, and your mother introduces you to the father and says, this is your father, this is your brothers, this is your sister, this is this, this is that. Then slowly you repeat it. Everybody repeats it, you repeat it. Then a conditioning happens. The mind is now very well established. So when you start probing that conditioning, questioning that conditioning, the society will not allow you to do that. Because then you have to extricate yourself and then question it. You will be alienating yourself. That induces fear in you. Because there is no support system. To exist without support system is very difficult for a human being. Very rarely a person extricates and starts questioning. And then when he slowly deconditions, the mind completely dissolves, then what remains is only consciousness. And when a person touches that consciousness and realizes that, he is an unshakable union agent. Because he understands how in the play of consciousness the world was created. How you understand through the play of waves hitting against each other, froth and foam is created. Froth and foam is the vibhuti, manifestation. Water is the yoga. So you will constantly, once this perception is attained, you will constantly have this perception. And therefore what happens is, you will thereafter not get locked in the manifestation. There won't be reactions to the reactions. That's what it means. See, when the external world goes through certain changes, there is bound to be some reactions in the mind, in the body. The temperature is changing now in Delhi. As a result of which there will be reactions at the body level. Right? But these reactions are having certain reactions in us today. Those reactions will not happen. Why? Because there is an unshakable union. You clearly understand. This is the play at the manifestation level. I am separate. He is united to the Supreme Brahman within. The substratum, the adhishtanam. Like an actor on the stage. Actor on the stage.
What exactly do you mean by substratum?
Brahman. Or the reality that is underneath. Adhishtanam. See, you have to project on something. Na, and that is Brahman. Jesus. Or consciousness in English.
So if we compare the water, the sea, the waves, the froth and foam, we can say water is yoga, which is Brahman.
Yes.
Froth and foam is the vibhuti.
Froth and foam, waves, everything is vibhuti.
Waves will also become vibhuti.
Vibhuti, yes.
And that vibhuti, like mind is
vibhuti. Mind is a vibhuti. Right. Intellect is a vibhuti. Body is a vibhuti.
So the reflection.
Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching is a vibhuti. Feeling is vibhuti. Thinking is vibhuti. All these are vibhutis. And how these vibhutis have emerged out of Brahman. The moment a person goes to Brahman, only he sees it. Only a waker will understand that the entire dream world was a vibhuti. Then he will clearly see. And imagine a waker entering the dream world. See, that's where the limitation of the example. See, once you've woken up, thereafter you're not entering. Similarly, once you've realized that thereafter this vibhuti, manifold, manifestations, everything winds up as far as you are concerned. But from the world point of view, you are still continuing. Right? But you are in unshakable union with the Brahman. Therefore, anything that is happening will be like drama. And drama will not affect you. See, a hero has given call sheet to 2-3 different producers. And in one of the movies, he is acting like a poor fellow, slave. In another movie, he is acting like a leader, king. You understand? But he is totally different fellow. He is neither a king nor a beggar. Then he is acting like a beggar, and so many people are disrespecting him in the movie. As per the role, spitting on him, you know, throwing him out. All that is happening, but inside he is not affected. Why? He knows he has got his money for the movie, which is in crores. He is an unshakable union. But now the problem is, You are now become one with the manifestation, sadhana, rita, I mean, isn't it? Now, as rita, whatever is happening around, you get involved and you get affected. As sadhana, you are getting affected. But when sadhana will do sadhana, right? And dissolve the ego, dissolve the vasanas, and realize the self, she will be in unshakable union. Thereafter, whatever is happening at the sadhana world level, people may respect sadhana, people may disrespect sadhana, money may come in, money may go, business may reach, attain profit, loss, personal level honor, dishonor, physical level pleasure, pain, emotional level joy, sorrow, she will be in unshakable union. If the body feels cold, she may give a woolen, but she will not be affected. The woolen is not available. Whatever is there, with that she will continue. Because she knows the whole thing is a drama. She is in unshakable union. Thereafter, that establishment in Brahman cannot be removed. See, now what is happening is, we are not in unshakable union. See, how long will sadhana is asking question. How long do I have to do sadhana till you reach this unshakable union? Because now you are gaining knowledge, feeling better, but that lasts only for a few minutes. It's like charging. Gets depleted, again charged, depleted, again charged. Till you charge infinitely, that there won't be any more discharge. Till you have become one. Unshakable union. Like a TB patient taking medicine. They give the course. Even your antibiotics, they give you a course. You should not stop it in between. Even if you feel much better. Isn't it? Because then the lapse will be worse. When the whole thing will, when it comes back, then you will be finished. And it reappears. So therefore, you have to continue the course, they'll tell you, isn't it? Complete your course. Don't stop it in between. Oh, I'm feeling much better, so I should stop. No. Till you have reached an unshakable union. From within you know, I am Brahman. All this is waves and froth and foam. There's no meaning in getting involved here. And according to the drama, you will also play your role. If you have to raise your voice, you will raise your voice, but that would be a decision, not a choiceless raising voice. It will not be an unconscious raising voice, which creates agitation. It will be a conscious playing of the role. I'm giving the example of raising voice to give you something at the external level. Internal level, he will be definitely having a lot of compassion. Because he will clearly see these people are lost in the world, therefore they are functioning. That's why Jesus Christ said, no? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So inside you will have this clear understanding. Each one is lost in his own drama. And if you tell them that you are lost in the drama, what will they do to you?
Okay, mate.
They will give you address of an asylum. Please don't get admitted there. So don't even talk about it. We'll clearly see. And when anybody wakes up, they'll understand. Oh, you already woke up, I didn't know. So once you wake up, you know who all has woken up, no? Till then the fellow who's woken up cannot say anything. Because anything he will say from an unconditioned level, from a conditioned level you will misunderstand. That's the whole idea. So this is what he is talking about here. He who knows in reality this supreme manifestation and my yoga, not just through books, in reality, in his personal experience, who is woken up, he becomes established in unshakable union with Brahman. There is no doubt about it. Na atra samshaya. Let there be no doubt. So till we become one with this, and we clearly see that we are the Brahman acting various roles, then it will become what? Leela. Life will become Leela. Thereafter life won't be a serious thing for you. You will do your role and keep moving. Otherwise, the external paraphernalia affects you. Next. Aham sarvasya prabhavah, aham sarvasya prabhavah, mattas sarvam pravartane, mattas sarvam pravartane, iti matva vajante maham, iti matva vajante maham, buddha bhava samanvitah, buddha bhava samanvitah, aham sarvasya prabhavah, mattas sarvam pravartane, iti matva vajante maham, buddha bhava samanvitah. I am the origin of all. Aham sarvasya prabhaha. Mattat sarvam pravartate. From me everything evolves. Understanding thus, iti matva, understanding thus, bhajante maam buddhaha. Wise people worship me. Worship means identification. Remember this. You may be sitting in the temple and worshipping Bhagwan as it were externally, but it will only become worship if your identification was with Bhagwan. If sitting in the mandir, your identification mentally is with the world, then you are not really doing worshipping them. Isn't it? You are not with Bhagwan. So you are understanding that the wise worship me. Endowed with devotion. Devotion is nothing but self-effacement. The ego effacement. In their case, the individuality is completely merged with the total. So therefore, a complete identification is with Brahman. Total surrender. They become one with Brahman. The intellect maintains a constant awareness of unmanifest reality, Brahman. That is called devotion. Devotion is nothing but awareness.
Total awareness. Total?
Identification with Brahman. See, when you say devotion, it's a very misunderstood word. You know, lot of superstitious beliefs has been taken as act of devotion. Devotion simply means you are aware of the underlying reality. You know, through all your activities and feelings and emotions and thinking, you're constantly aware of the reality, as a result of which you don't assert the ego. That is devotion. In the Guru's presence, the Shishya will talk. Exactly like that, when the Shishya is aware of Guru's presence everywhere, he'll always be quiet. Meaning humble. That is devotion. So devotion is nothing but awareness, which results in identification with truth, Brahman. Just like how the entire dream world has emerged out of Brahman. So waker's mind can say, I am the origin of all the dreams. From me all dreams emerge. So like that Brahman is speaking here as it were. Krishna, when he says me, 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 he means the self, Brahman. See, when we say me, we are identifying at the body level. Some of us identify as the mind intellect. Very rarely a person goes and identifies as the self. So here when Krishna speaks and says me, he is identifying with the self. And then the self that is speaking, Brahman that is speaking, the entire universe has come from you. You don't know that, being at the surface. You got to go to the depth. So that is why there is no point collecting words at the surface, because it will still continue to be surface. Nobody is interested in going to the root. Everybody is interested in plucking the flowers. Because flowers are very attractive. The flowers are getting its nutrients from the roots. And therefore, if you really understand what Sri Krishna is saying here, you will then say, let me start going with it. Everything else doesn't matter. The person, when he goes inside, he will see this. See, now you are only intellectually appreciating when you study this and understand it. What you intellectually experience, understand, should you not experience? When bhakti becomes intensified, you would want to experience it. You just do not want to have it at the intellectual level. Isn't it? See, even at the mundane level, when your love starts intensifying with a being, you then want to share your life with that person. You want to become one with that person. So when bhakti intensifies, remember this portion, middle portion, is talking about bhakti. Emphasis upon bhakti. When that bhakti intensifies, when you start seeing this perception, when you start appreciating this angle of vision that Sri Krishna is presenting, what will happen? Then you would say, no, I want to then wake up. I do not want to continue in the dream, giving lectures to others. I want to go and really attain that unshakable union myself. Then what should I do? Formula. What formula? God plus desire equals human beings. Within bracket, your name. Who is Sunanda? God plus desire. Who is Anu? God plus desire. Who is Ami? God plus desire. So if I want to understand then the yoga, if I want to become, because if I understand these words, then I start appreciating it, then my interest would develop more and more towards becoming God. What do I have to do? Ami minus desire. So what will be the purpose of Ami then? The whole life would be exhausting the vasanas. Firstly, make sure no fresh vasanas are added. And secondly, exhaust the existing vasanas. Isn't it? As I exhaust my vasanas, as I start removing my conditioning, I will be going deep within. When I go deep within, then I go from vibhuti to yoga. And when I attain that yoga, I get liberated. Till that has not been achieved, my liberation never happens. In other words, all that Vedanta is saying is, you are suffering not because the world is capable of inducing suffering to you. You are suffering because you have, out of ignorance, brought yourself to a limited condition. As a result of which, the world is capable of affecting you. So realize the infinite potential within. And therefore, if I listen to this, everything has come from me. I am the origin of all. From me, everything evolves. So then, understanding does. Why is worship me? Worship me means, in thought, word and deed, they say, my goal is to get back to the self. I only want to realize my full potential. I don't want to waste in the frivolous things, trivial things of the world. The priority will completely change. You will not be against the worldly living, but priority will change. This life is there for me to go on, become one with that self. Otherwise we are wasting our time here. As I know, what am I doing? I'm collecting more and more. Trifles. Some are precious trifles. I'm trying to travel at the longitudinal level, not latitude. Once I understand this, thereafter I will be worshipping the self only. At the moment, what are you worshipping? See, Swami Ramakrishna gives this beautiful story. A king goes to sannyasi and prostrates to the sannyasi. And immediately the sannyasi prostrates to the king. King says, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know? Then the king, when king says that, you have prostrated to me, so I am also prostrated. No, you can't prostrate to me. You are a great sannyasi, great renunciate. Therefore I am prostrated. But I am a worldly man. I have not renounced anything. So you are a great man, so I am prostrating to you. So you please don't prostrate to me. For which the sannyasi says, just 1 minute, think about it. Is the world superior or God superior? The king answers, God is superior. World is inferior. Then he says, I have taken up God. Renounce the world. You have taken up the world, renounced God. Who is superior? Somebody who renounces something superior is superior. No? So he is saying to the king, you renounce the superior, taken the inferior thing. I only renounce the inferior thing. I have taken up superior thing. So you are a great renunciate. He is basically trying to tell him what you have taken up is inferior, while you have the potential to take up something superior. This is what he is saying here indirectly. You have the potential to go on, become one with yoga, but you are lost in the manifestation. This is the problem. And as long as your identification, so your worshipping is what? Bhagwan is just some tool. That is not real worship. Your identification is still in the world. If I worship this Bhagwan, I will get that. Therefore you are still continuing in the vibhuti. You are not interested in the yoga. So he says, no, when a person understands this, he is in total worship. Whatever he will do, whatever he will perceive, whatever he will feel, whatever he will conceive, everything will be in line with the self. Thereafter he is not interested in anything else. That is what he means by saying, the wise then worship me. See, wise in the sense, what direction, what purpose you have set in life, that makes you wise or unwise. Unwise person cannot see anything beyond his nose. The tip of his nose only he can see. Beyond that he cannot see. But a wise person sees beyond. So from the unwise point of view, the wise person is not really becoming more productive. See, I'll give you a very gross example. Somebody who's only studying up to the school, not going to college, or post-graduation, or research, and start earning. I'm not talking about exceptions like Bill Gates and all. Those are exceptions. I'm talking about general. till 10th or something, he studies and works as some laborer somewhere. Earn some money. As a result of that earning, he's got a watch, he's got this, he's got that. But why is accumulating watch and bicycle and bike and all that? The other fellow is studying 10 plus 2, graduation, post-graduation. So then he doesn't have all those peripheranias. But by the time the other fellow has accumulated all that. So from that level when you see, he seems to be wise, this fellow seems to be unwise. But he doesn't care, he just continues. Right? Educates himself, goes deeper and deeper. Broadens his knowledge. Just collecting dots. Okay? And further he goes to post-graduation. Further goes to research, etc. Then from that research, he just writes one book. Okay? Around 30. This fellow started working around 17 or 15. And in 15 years, whatever he's collected, is collected. At 30, he just writes one book, the other fellow, wise fellow. From his research, all the dots that he collected, he is presenting to the world. Then what happens? Slowly from the book, everything starts coming in.
Okay.
Limiting more. But that 15 years of sacrifice is needed. 10 years of sacrifice is needed.
Is that really sacrifice, or he's also
at that time,
doing all that only?
This is what Arjuna asked, na? In this 15 years, supposing I die, kya hoga? You remember Arjuna asked this in 6th chapter. In 6th chapter, Arjuna asked this question, no? That little portion of cloud separates from the big mass of clouds. Will it not get perished, washed away by the wind? Arjuna asked this question, you remember? Then what happens to all my sadhana and everything before realization if I go away? And Krishna said, in the next janma you will start from where you left. Remember that portion. You require that. That is why spiritual journey becomes even more difficult. But if you understand this, even if you get little doubt, maybe what he is saying is correct, then I do not want to dwell in the dream world anymore. Would I be interested in dwelling in the dream world anymore? Do I not want to wake up? No, it's comfortable. Just put two more quills and go. Fine. And that's what he's saying here. The wise worship me. They see this. Once they see this intellectually, then they want to make it their own. Therefore, what do? They stop all the other nonsensic pursuit. It's not going to end. It's not going to make much of a difference. You know, the other day when I met Raviji in his office with my other colleague, he was talking about the gentleman who started that university in the
Ashish.
What is that university called?
Ashoka.
Ashoka University. He was talking about exactly the same thing what we are discussing. Now you know what a wise man is. But at that time, you understand? That gentleman, I believe, on that particular year, 2009 or 8 or 10, he was telling us, he was the highest individual taxpayer in the country. Highest individual taxpayer. And 60-70 crores he paid as tax. Which means his income should be something like 240 crores. 30% you pay, huh? Right? Individual tax, individual, not company. Around 45, he stopped everything and had a vision. And now he started this Ashoka University, already making waves. You know? That university. As I know somebody who is studying in that university, the girl's father talks so highly about that university. He's from Chennai. What I'm trying to tell you is, when you understand this verse, see, I can just interpret this verse at a scholastic level and move on. But that's not the idea. So if you dwell on this verse further, you see, I am the origin of all. From me everything comes. Understanding that, a wise person, the wise worship me. Then they start valuing that. You worship me? Oh, he worships you. All the time you're with, he has value for that only, no? You worship only what you value. So your value is in manifestation or your value is in yoga? He says a wise person values the whole purity. Everything in life changes. There are. If he continued, he could have added another 200 crores next year. So what a foolish fellow man. Isn't it? Oh, instead of that, he started this. That also, in between he didn't start immediately, no? He took his time off for consolidating the whole thing and then starting. So what I'm trying to tell you is, the worship word should be understood correctly. Now worship means, okay, praying to God. That's not what he's saying. Instantly, if you really understand what he's saying, your whole priority shifts in life. Thereafter it won't just be just accumulating little more. What difference does it make? You already accumulated something. Adding one more or three more, will it make any difference? Thereafter you will start adding meaning to your life by going deeper. Only those things will give you satisfaction thereafter. Not adding some more. A lot of people, even from abroad, they just give up being CEO of some top company and then either have their own startups or go and join some startup as a CEO. They want to face those challenges. You understand? In other words, adding 100 to 1000 is not giving them pleasure anymore. Adding 10 to 1 gives them pleasure. That's even more challenge, no? Big challenge. So already continue in an institute which is established. Things are all settled for you. Compared to going and starting a new center yourself. Are you with me? But where is the satisfaction more? A wise person goes there. That is the unwise, the whole lot goes to the other. They worship the world because they have not understood us. The moment you understand this, your whole vision changes. Machitta madgata pranaha Machitta madgata pranaha Bodhayanta parasparam Bodhayanta parasparam Katayantascha maam nityam Katayantascha maam nityam Tushyanti cha ramanti cha Machitta madgata pranaha Bodhayanta parasparam Katayantascha maam nityam Tushyanti cha ramanti cha Machitta mind in me Madgata prana pranas in me pranas absorbed in me Bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mamityam enlightening one another, bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha maam nityam speaking of me alone all the time. Nityam means all the time. In other words, it is not only conscious, now from conscious it has gone to subconscious. That's what it means. In many of us it's at the surface level. The moment you hit that understanding, it goes to subconscious. See, for us now subconsciously we value the world. Consciously we are seeking God because God can be helpful to get what we value at the subconscious level. Are you with me? Now the whole priority will change thereafter. Then what happens is, not only God is at the conscious level, God also is at the subconscious level. Then at the conscious level, you only pick up things which will help you to get to that divinity, not anything else. Everything else will be a useless thing for you. See, you lend purpose to your life. That's what he means. So he says, Tushyanti cha ramanti. He is the one who is contented and delighted. The person who at the subconscious level values the world, the vibhuti, and at the conscious level may be practicing some bhakti. Compared to his contentment and delight, the person who is at the conscious and subconscious level identifies with Brahman. His contentment and delightment is different. The contentment and delightment you get out of acquisition vis-a-vis the contentment and delightment that comes out of doing what ought to be done and in contribution, that's something phenomenal. Your contribution need not have been appreciated that well. See, the contentment and delight that Shakespeare got or any scientist gets in his laboratory, whether or not his scientific inventions are appreciated during his lifetime, compared to the other person's apparent success, whose contentment and delight is superior? Are you with me? Shakespeare did not make that much money compared to the fellows who are making now, performing Shakespeare's drama. Isn't it? I want to go and see the performance. So much pounds you have to pay. But Shakespeare, but the sun is such, what made him continue? Are you with me? So this is what he says. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. They are satisfied with what they get, what they have, and they are getting the bliss that comes from within. Because now God has moved not only, God is not staying only at the conscious, now he is moved to subconscious. You say God means the truth. Thereafter you will be truthful to yourself. Thereafter you are not interested in anything else. So he says, Machitta. In thought, Madgata Prana. In each and every breath of your life, it will be only divinity. Meaning, my purpose is to get back to the self. Bodhayanta Parasparam. There I want to gain knowledge, accumulate things which will help me to get there. Not accumulate things which will not help me to get there. See, whatever I am accumulating, it should help me to get to my goal. If you do not have a goal, you will be only picking up things. Go on picking up things, and then once the room is filled, then build a new room to collect few more, and keep on picking up. Whereas here, Bodhayanta Parasparam means thereafter, they will only be interested in gaining knowledge. Why? Because knowledge alone gets them there, nothing else. So intellectually, they will be enlightening one another, only of them. They are not interested in wasting their time in frivolous talk. And katayantascha manyatya. It's like somebody has been told, you have just 2 weeks. Just imagine, put yourself in that person's shoes. You have just 2 hours, or 2 days, or 2 weeks, or 2 months. Just imagine from that person's angle. Are you with me? Would these things make any difference? Whatever that has been accumulated? Adding little more will make any difference to him or her? That's what you see here. Thereafter, enlightening one another. Will this help me to get to my truth, the self? That I will pick up. We are now picking up things without rhyme or reason. Yes, he gave, she gave, so what? It's out of love they gave. So with love you accept. But when something is not going to contribute to your goal, you distribute that for somebody else, maybe it is useful. Because his or her goal may be different. Isn't it? Otherwise, you are an aimless traveler. Now there is another example that Swamiji talks about in the Niti book. Once a great archer visited a city, and while he was traveling in the car, on either side of the roads, in all the compounds, there was an arrow shot on bullseye. Every 10 meters, there was this scene that he was seeing. Arrows were shot, bullseye. Oh, who's this guy, man? He asked the driver. So there's a great archer in our city. He's the one who hits bullseye every time, you know. Oh, then he said, I'm not really the great archer. I should meet that great archer. So he goes to him. And he asked that archer, hey, how come he surrenders and says, see, I'm considered number one archer, but having seen you now, I'm nothing. You know? So please tell me, what is this technique? I'll tell you, but as long as you keep it as a secret. He said, okay. Please tell me what it is. He said, you draw the bullseye and then shoot. I first shoot and then draw the bullseye. That is why, you know, he said. In other words, you have a purpose and then shoot yourself. That's how you should live. But how we are living, eh? Whichever go our direction. This fellow pulls you this direction, you go there. Somebody else pulls you this direction, you go in that direction. And then, putting the circle around it. So this is what he is saying here. When you understand this, thereafter, you will clearly understand the purpose is to get back to the, not just suffer at the manifestation. Then, Machitta, Madgata, Prana, Bodhayanta, Parasparam, Katayantascha, Mamacham. I am not interested in anything else. Is there a way out? In these 2 weeks, my priority will be, is there any possibility of extending my stay here by getting some medication to cure? If that is not possible, reduction of pain. Isn't it? I'll start thinking about that. Will I be interested in all the other things? That's what he means by saying, Machitta Bhagata Prana. In thought, word and deed, everything will be, I must get there. Then it is true bhakti. Otherwise it will be like pickle, not like main food. So this verse, mat chitta, me in the thought, in the mind, subconscious, mat gata prana, as long as I am living, breathing, all my activities, my perceptions and actions, will be directed towards achieving the self. While I am functioning thus, If the other things comes in between, I may enjoy. But my primary goal is not that. Then bodhayanta paraspara. Thereafter he will sit and develop his intellect, gain knowledge towards it. It's the same thing in our life also. You set your goal, then you prepare yourself at the body level, mind level and intellect level. Then that's your goal. Isn't it? If your goal is to do some business, to achieve this purpose, then you will start studying things about it, gain knowledge about the business. Then physical body you will try to keep as fit as is required for doing that business. You will start associating with people who are all aligned to that business. Isn't it? You will then become a YO, YPO and all these things for what? Isn't it? Then you will be interested in that. Exactly like that is saying. From the spiritual goal point of view. Same thing if you understand and implement it in the material level also you will become successful. The same thing. First goal. I don't live and then try to put a circle around it. No. First purpose. The moment you get that purpose, direction, your actions become forceful. And for that purpose, what all I should I keep myself? How should I keep my body? Whom all should I keep as my friends? What are the books that should be there in my library? Where should my house be, including that? What are the things that should be there in my house? What kind of clothes? You understand what I'm saying? Exactly the same thing is like Machitta, Madgata, Prana, Bodhayanta, Parasparam, Katayantascha, Mamnitya. I do not want to waste my energy talking about something frivolous. That which will be useful towards the good. That's all I'll do. Such a person will be contented because he is doing what he loves to do. He is not being driven by his desires. He is being motivated, functioning, inspired. That gives him absolute contentment and delightment. Tesham satata yuktana, tesham satata yuktana, bhajatam priti purvakam, bhajatam priti purvakam, dadami buddhi yogam tam, dadami buddhi yogam tam, yena mamupayantite, tesham satata yuktana, bhajatam priti purvakam, dadami buddhi yogam tam, yena mamupayantite. To those ever steadfast, conscious and subconscious level who worship me with love, with devotion, with bhakti, I give buddhi yoga, he says. I give union by intellect by which they come to me. See, what he is trying to say here is, this is all a sadhak can do. What he said in verse number 9. In conscious and subconscious, he can constantly think of Brahman. All his activities can be directed towards Brahman. But the finite effort cannot fetch the infinite. Finite efforts cannot fetch the infinite. Please understand this. Isn't it? The finite can only remove the finite obstacles. Then the infinite will descend upon the finite. Then the infinite will merge completely in the finite. So it is by the grace of the Lord. Not by your effort. But your effort receives the grace. When the effort is done with the right attitude, it receives the grace. Together, you achieve the result. So that's what he is trying to say here. Out of compassion, the infinite comes down. Then ignorance is removed. So by which they come to me, by which the river has become one with the ocean. That's it. You have to bring yourself to that single pointed concentration, which is what is called as meditation. When you bring yourself to that single thought, no other thought you have, then he says that single thought, when it will dissolve, you don't know. See, it's like this, you know. You prepare your body, you prepare your room, you prepare the bed, everything to go to sleep. You bring yourself to that one thought, I must go to sleep, I must go to sleep. So what you do? With that thought, you will prepare your body. You will prepare your mind. And I say, if you prepare your body, you will not have coffee. If you want to sleep, if you have coffee, it will keep you awake. So what do you do? You don't have coffee. You prepare your body accordingly. What to eat, what not to eat, when to eat, how much to eat. You will not go and do exercise now. Then your body will not allow you to go to sleep. So you prepare everything, body. Then the room also. You switch on the air conditioner sometimes before maybe. So that it's not too cold, too hot. When you enter the room to sleep. And bed is prepared, everything is done. Right? Then you go and lie down. And of course, there's another thing. You make sure throughout the day that you did not have selfish thoughts. Egoistically you do not function. Then when you go and lie down, thought of sleep is there. But when exactly that thought of sleep dissolved and you went to sleep, you don't know. That's not in your hands. The more effort you put into sleep, whole night will be awake. That is what he is trying to say. You bring yourself to that, that much you do. Rest I'll take care of you. Out of compassion, I will give you that union. You don't need it. You understand what he's saying? I mean, infinite will disappear.
When exactly your ego will dissolve, the final traces. Don't be in a hurry. In meditation, when you do that, when you get attached and do meditation like that,
you will not get it. Bring yourself to such single thought out of compassion, that single thought will be dissolved and you will see the individuality merging with the totality. So understand this, nothing happens without the grace of the Lord, all the more in the spiritual journey. But the grace of the Lord will be got only if you put in effort with right attitude. So don't, there is no, substitute for effort. You have to put in the effort.
What would be the Hindi word for compassion now?
Karuna. Sanskrit also.
Karuna doesn't come with pity. Compassion is not with pity.
I don't know Hindi. Okay, but no. As far as I know, Karuna, in pity is different.
Pity is a selfish
emotion. Whereas compassion is selfless. Pity is a tinge of ego.
Okay. Pity is a daya. And that is karuna, compassion is karuna.
I know Hindi, okay, but when you say pity, there is an element of ego.
Yeah, like it's
Hindi with daya,
I am doing that.
The I is there,
the
subtle I is there.
Compassion doesn't.
Compassion is I. If the I is there, then it is not compassion, it's pity. Pity is a weakness, compassion is a strength. So this is what he is saying in this verse 10. Your individual efforts, you bring yourself to that point. Then that point I will take care. You have to come to the seat of meditation, bringing yourself to a single pointed thought flow. Then the rest is in my hands. Says Sri Krishna.
पूर्णमुदच्छते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति
कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैव
मनसेन्द्रियैव
बुद्ध्यात्मना वा
बुद्ध्यात्मना वा
प्रकृते स्वभावा
प्रकृते स्वभावा
करोमि यद्यत्
करोमि यद्यत्
सकलं परस्महि
सकलं परस्महि
नारायणायेति समर्पयामि
नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.
Thank you.